I want to read this morning from some selected readings, scattered passages in the Old Testament, and the first one is found in the 104th Psalm, Psalm 104, just some verses from each passage. Psalm 104, reading verses 16 and 17. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Just look up that passage to verse 12. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Turn back, please, to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Reading from verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now turn over, please, to the Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And chapter 5. Reading verse 9. It's a question. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? The answer is, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. She describes him from head to foot. Verse 11, his head and his locks. Verse 12, his eyes. Verse 13, his cheeks and his lips. Verse 14, his hands and his belly. And then come verse 15, she says, his legs are pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Final reading is in the prophecy of Hosea, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. The last chapter, chapter 14, Hosea chapter 14. Reading from verse 4. Hosea 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the Jew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Now that's all I wish to read. We pray the Lord will bless the public reading again of Holy Scriptures today. The last time I stood here was in August, on the Sunday evening of August last year. A strange thing happened to me that evening as we were singing in the opening hymns at the early part of the meeting. A thought that I didn't expect gripped me. I looked across the congregation and started to think of all the people that used to be here but are not here today. God's people that I grew up amongst, they're not here anymore. And that was brought before me very powerfully as I stood and looked out over the congregation. Then the pastor, just 2 weeks ago today, He made a comment that caught my attention. He said, "We are losing a lot of great saints around Lurgan. We are losing a lot of great saints around Lurgan." Well, you know, that was more or less in keeping what I had been thinking and what had been brought before me very powerfully. God's people are moving on. We have lost, is what I was thinking, many great saints about Lurgan. We are losing great saints about Lurgan. We will continue to lose great saints about Lurgan if the Lord be not come. And this is what I believe has laid this subject upon me this morning. What a lovely term, great saints. But I want to look this morning at another description that's given in the Old Testament of the people of God. It's a lovely one. I tell you, it fits some of God's people perfectly. I tell you, they fall short of it. And I think the challenge would be to this, let us look at it and see, do we make, is it a fair description of us that are here? I tell you, it's a lovely description of many that used to be here. You will notice that in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures, but often in the Old Testament, the figure is used of the man or woman of God. They're likened unto a tree. We have that from the very opening psalm, the first psalm of the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then the psalmist says, do you know what he's like? He's like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. His leaf doesn't wither, and everything that he does will prosper. Like a tree. Could I narrow it down a little this morning? You will notice in so many of the Old Testament passages that the Old Testament writers, and I think it's significant that it's the Old Testament, time and time again, when they want to describe something magnificent, when they want to describe something of strength, when they want to describe something impressive, something outstanding, time and time again, they seem to say, like the cedar of Lebanon. Did you notice how often we had that phrase in our readings this morning? Like the cedar of Lebanon. That caught my attention one time, you know. What was it about that forest? And what was it about those trees that seemed to impress so many of the writers of the Old Testament time and time again? The cedar of Lebanon. I did some research and found that the forest of Lebanon stretched for about 80 miles, running in a south-west, northeast direction. The mountain range apparently had averaged about 7,000 feet above sea level. And the cedars grew at maybe 6,000 feet above sea level. What a picture it must have been. What a sight, what an impressive sight to see these mighty cedars. They say they grew to 80 feet, maybe some of them 100 feet in height, a girth of maybe 30 to 40 feet. Their branches spread such that they're maybe as wide as they are high. In the ancient world, they were regarded as the kings of the forest. The cedar wood was in great demand. Something that could be trusted. Something that was dependable. Something that was sure and steadfast and would stand the test of time. God's people, like a cedar of Lebanon. It's used to describe Israel in Hosea. Israel that has returned to the Lord. Not the backsliding Israel. But Israel that has returned to the Lord. Israel that are looking to God. Israel that are walking in fellowship with their God. And it's them that they're described as Lebanon. It's used to describe the righteous. We read it in Psalm 92. The righteous shall flourish and they shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. In the Song of Songs, chapter 5, the daughters of Jerusalem, they ask the bride, they say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? That thou dost so charge us. They sort of say, what is it about him? You go on and on about him. What is it about him? And I tell you, when she gets the opportunity, she describes him. She doesn't miss her opportunity of speaking of him. I tell you, I often lament a missed opportunity. You know, you and I, when we get the opportunity to speak about him, we should readily be able to speak about him. I believe the bride in the Song of Songs is a picture of the church or the individual believer. The bridegroom is a picture of the risen Lord. She says he's white and ruddy. She says he's the chiefest, he's the fairest of 10,000. He's conspicuous, he's outstanding. She describes him from head to foot. Then she says, by way of summary, she says, his countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. We're familiar with the lovely text, aren't we? He's altogether lovely. But before she said that, she said, he's excellent as the cedars. You know, in that little book, the Shulamite damsel, we reckon, comes from North Galilee or southern Lebanon. She was familiar with the cedars, and she would have been familiar with the forest of Lebanon, and she would have been impressed with it, and she uses it gladly to describe him as the cedar of Lebanon. Excellent as the cedar of Lebanon. I would like to point out some things that I learned about the cedar. The references are in the Word of God. In Psalm 104, it says concerning the trees of the Lord, they're full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. God planted them. You see, I believe the cedars on this forest is sort of, human logic and human reasoning. It defies human logic and reasoning. We would be inclined to think they can never grow that high. Surely mighty trees will not grow at that height. Elevated positions so high above sea level, we would never dream of planting them there. The trees of the Lord, says the 104th Psalm, are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Psalm 104 is the poem of God's creation. And the psalmist says God planted them. Man didn't put them there. What a picture. The rock of the mountain range of Lebanon was what my geography teacher taught me was sedimentary rock. Grey limestone or sandstone. What they call soft rock. Water could penetrate it. Water could create crevices and seep down through the rock. The cedars of Lebanon, they're growing on this rock. And we read it in the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea talked about the roots of Lebanon. You see, what they tell us is that the mighty roots of the cedar tree, it grew down through the rocks and effectively gripped the rock. What a picture. The cedars of Lebanon, they're actually founded upon rock. Psalm 40 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. God's people, our foundation is rock, isn't it? On Christ, solid rock I stand, the man that taught me at Sunday school 14 to 18 years of age. Had a tremendous knowledge of this book. I loved that class. Right throughout life, we remained friends. When the kids were going to children's meeting, I used to meet him. I went to see him a couple of weeks before he died. I'm glad I did. His funeral was on a Friday. I had been at a funeral on a Monday. I had been at a funeral on a Wednesday. I had to be at that one on Friday. I had to make do with going and meeting it at the cemetery gates. I was even late for that. And the people had gathered around the graveside, way up on the far right hand side in the high ground of Lurgan Cemetery. And as I made my way along the paths, I could hear, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Ah, Billy Turkington was his name. He was a cedar of Lebanon. Like the cedars, a small man, we called him Wee Billy. I thought to myself as I listened, how appropriate to hear them sing, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Ah, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, while the village fastened to the rock. That's the idea. Like the cedars of Lebanon, fastened to the rock, which cannot move. They're excellent in foundation. She says he's excellent. Excellent as the cedars. Ah, they're excellent in foundation. Can I suggest to you that they're also excellent in formation? We read in Psalm 92, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree," and it says, "and they shall grow." They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I love the picture. See the elevated position. All these trees are standing on higher ground. We were singing, weren't we? "Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Plant my feet on higher ground." Isn't that our aspiration? On higher ground and to achieve higher ground and to go higher and to reach heavenward and to dwell in the heavenlies. That's the picture. They're mighty in formation. The cedars, they grow. And you and I, humanly speaking, would say they couldn't grow. It's too exposed. Conditions are too extreme. Oh, the storm would crack and blow over Lebanon. Yet they are where God planted them. You and I, if life is difficult and we're facing problems, and sometimes we would rather be down on the lower ground where it's a lot warmer and a lot calmer. Ah, but you're planted by the Lord, aren't you? You're where God wants you to be. And the people of God grow in the most extreme conditions. And it defies human logic and reasoning. If we are going to plant a tree, we would say, "Oh, it has to be planted somewhere nice and sheltered." Joseph was 17, kidnapped and taken to Egypt as a slave. Not much shelter for the young man there. Joseph grew. You could think of other men of God. You could think of Moses. If we are going to plant a tree, we would say, it needs to be in a well-watered place. The backside of the desert of Midian. God trained him and he grew. When they left Samuel in Shiloh, Hannah and Elkanah, it says that it was dark. There was a spiritual darkness. Oh, the lamp of God was about to go out. We would say we need to plant it in a place where there's plenty of light. Ah, but it was dark in Shiloh, but Samuel grew, and his reputation from Dan to Beersheba, a man of God. And Daniel and Daniel in Babylon. Purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself by eating the king's meat. Didn't make any difference. Whether it was the draft with Joseph, or the dearth of Midian for Moses, or the darkness of Shiloh for Samuel, or the diet of in Babylon for Daniel, and yet the people of God, they grow. I think the lesson is this, that the believer needs nothing of this world to grow. Never uprooted. Nothing of the world required. Just need the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word and the strong meat of the word of God. That's what the believer needs to grow. They were excellent in their formation. The righteous shall flourish. Grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Can I suggest another one? I think they were excellent in fellowship. What I mean by that is this. Did you notice that we read in Hosea 14, his branches shall spread. His branches shall spread. Did you notice where we read that they that dwell under his shadow? You know, they say that a traveler in the land, in the country of Lebanon, the first opportunity they get, they would seek the shade of the mighty cedar. You know, when I look back at my life, there were times when there were those around me, and I was glad of the shade that they provided. And I was glad of the shelter that I found. And I was glad of the support because they were mighty cedars. And in times of difficulty, you just wanted to get in underneath the shade of the cedar tree. That's the idea. That's my idea of fellowship, isn't it? I asked myself this morning, are we an approachable people? Are we a people with a smile on our face? Are we a people that the younger ones, they're not afraid to run to us? That's the way we ought to be. Oh, I tell you, looking over the years, I don't have to stop and think. I can tell you who was an encouragement to me and who was a discouragement to me. I don't have to think about it. I can remember readily. I can remember those of a gaining disposition who would gladly help provide shade and shelter and support. And as the people of God, that's what we need to be in this day. What a picture of fellowship. Did you notice that we read in Psalm 104 that the stork builds her nest in the branches? Did you notice that we read that there was singing in the branches? Ah, God's people are people of song. People of song. I tell you, you could hear it. Much to sing about, haven't we? Much to praise God for, a people of song. Let us sing of his love once again. Of a love that can never decay. Of the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Till we praise him again in that day. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by we shall sing. People of song, can you hear the singing in the breath? I grew up amongst people who were a people of song. We have much to thank God for. Isn't that fellowship? You see the unity? They're growing together. How does a young sapling get started, I wonder? They grew together in proximity to each other. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know there are assemblies today. And the younger generation is more of a nuisance. A bit like how the disciples were, the children were a nuisance. Chasing them away. Some assemblies today would rather not have young people. Young people, it poses too many problems. They prefer to go somewhere else. What happens is the old cedars, they're going to come to an end. I see the unity and the harmony and I hear the melody. They're excellent in fellowship. We were singing this morning, when through the wood and forest glade I wander. Tell me this, did you ever detect the fragrance? Did you detect the fragrance the last time you walked through the wood? I tell you, there's a fragrance that's unique. And there's a fragrance that's unique to God's people. We read in Psalm 104, the opening verse that we read, it says this, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, full of sap. The pastor just 3-4 weeks back, you know what he was preaching? The greatest requirement for believers today is to be filled with the Spirit. And I think that's the picture of the trees of the Lord. They're full of sap. There's that which is within that cannot be contained. That which is within that's bursting out. Doesn't the fragrance come from resin? From that which is within bursting out. Full of sap. I tell you, I think the person that's full of sap is easily identifiable. One evening in prayer meeting, we were leaving prayer meeting. George, Brother George McCullough, who preached here during the month of October, we were going out of the prayer meeting one evening, and George said to me, he dropped his voice, he lowered his voice, and he said, prayer meeting didn't start tonight, the 10 to 9. But we had met at 8. And I knew exactly what he meant. There was a lady in the prayer meeting who prayed. And we hadn't heard her voice for some time. But you know this, she was full of sap. Oh, I tell you, she lifted everybody around her. The prayer meeting just took off because of one who was full of sap. It was obvious. Oh, there's a certain class type of ministry that's sappy, you know. You just don't notice the time going by. Full of sap. And that's what we need today. Spiritual vitality. Oh, we need to be full of sap. Sometimes I'm in the company of people. Often an older believer, not necessarily so. But I find that they're doing all the talking and I'm just listening. But that suits me fine. I'm certainly a better listener. And I'm listening and I'm starting to realize as they're talking and telling me of what they have read and of who they're praying for and they're telling me of what's happening to God's people in other parts of the lands. And I'm sitting and I'm starting to realize this people, oh, this wee woman, she's so full of sap. And I tell you, it makes me feel, you know, I'm just like a deciduous tree. I'm not a cedar of Lebanon at all. You see, the picture is that they're evergreen. They shall be fat and flourishing. Psalm 92, fat means they're full of sap. Flourishing means they're green. They're evergreen. I'm more like the oak trees around our place. Times I'm dead. I'm no leaf. I'm dry and I'm barren. Oh, at times I look all right. Times I look the part. Ah, but that's not the picture. Picture God's people, evergreen, full of sap. There's a fragrance about the people of God. Something that cannot be contained. That's the idea. Ah, like the cedar of Lebanon. Excellent in fragrance. I think you could say also they're excellent in fruit bearing. I'm like a green fir tree, says Hosea, from me is thy fruit found. We read it in Psalm 92 in verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. What a picture of God's people. Galatians 5, we read concerning to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, and as we were reminded last week, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it needs to be evident every day. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, we are thinking of it, aren't we, through the pastor in recent weeks. The greatest of these, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, on display. That's the picture. Like a cedar of Lebanon. Christ-likeness on display. Herein is the Father glorified. We bear much fruit. I couldn't help but notice in verse 13, verse 14 of Psalm 92, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I like that. Apostle Paul says, I fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished the course, kept the faith, right to the end, into old age, still bringing forth fruit. Ah, like a cedar of Lebanon, God's people, right to the end, bringing forth fruit in old age. Undefeated, right to the last. Undefined. Just read this that day. The cedar tree and the cedar wood was in such great demand because it, for some reason, it remained free of insect infestation. There was nothing to mar it. There were no knots in the cedar timber. Free of knots. It's as though there was nothing within that would mar the blessing. I think that's the idea. Nothing to mar the blessing. We become embittered about things. As the pastor said, we get a chip on our shoulder about something. We go through months and years, become bitter and more bitter, holding a grudge. Not the idea at all. No knots in the cedar. That's why it was in such great demand. Ah, the cedar of Lebanon. She says, oh, he's excellent as the cedar. Excellent in their foundation, on the rock. Excellent in their formation, growing and reaching higher. Excellent in fellowship. Excellent in fragrance. Excellent in fruit bearing. Excellent right to the finish. I would love to have seen this forest. I read a bit about it. I looked at the scripture references concerning the great cedars of Lebanon, and then I thought, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to stand and gaze at it like it seems that those writers of the Old Testament gazed at it, and stand back and marvel and admire it. And then I learned this, that the forest of Lebanon's not there today. It's gone. For me, the mighty cedars stretched from Ardmore and Derriad, right through Lurgan, Donnacloney, Blackskull, the cedars stood everywhere. But the forest as I knew it, well, it's gone. Not what it used to be. A little grove maybe here and there of cedars. Ah, but the forest of Lebanon's not there. My, where does it go? Well, we could have turned to 1 Kings chapter 5 and 6 and 7. Solomon has a project. He's going to build the house of God. He's going to build a palace for the king. And nothing but the best of materials are going to go into it. He sends a message to Hiram, the king of Tyre. He says, send me the cedars of Lebanon. I need them. Send me the cedars. He deployed 30,000 men to help the Sidonians to go into the forest of Lebanon and transport cedars. 10,000 men, 1 month on and 2 months off, 10,000 men helping to take down the cedars of Lebanon. Can you see the picture? How would they take them down? Well, surely they must have gone in just and took them down one by one. One by one, the great cedars are taken down. And then they're transported. They transported them to the coast, and then they floated them down the coast. And they made their way to Jerusalem. They went to take their place in the house of God, the palace of the king. They're excellent. They're excellent in the future. A greater than Solomon calls. Another cedar taken down. Brother Billy Andrews, just a couple of weeks ago, the pastor said, we are losing some great saints about her. Aye, and over the years, the mighty cedars are coming down. The challenge today for me anyway, and for all of us younger ones, should be this. Are we taking our place? Are we up to the mark? Are we as impressive as we ought to be? No, we're not like the men of old at all. We are a long way short. But that's the challenge, isn't it? To be outstanding, says the bride. He's outstanding. That's the way to be impressive. Take our stand for God. To be something that, to be renowned for stability and strength. The picture's not of a silver birch that's blowing every way with the wind. No, no. Cedar stands tall. Something that's durable, something that's strong, something of stature. Something that provides shade and shelter. Oh, we used to run to them. Full of sap. Spiritual vitality. Excellent as a cedar. Right to the end. That's the challenge. God's people. The Lord's taking them home. They were excellent as the cedars of Lebanon.